not, for I have redeemed you and ransomed you by paying a price instead of leaving you captives. I've called you by your name. Here's the best part. You are mine. I want to concentrate on this particular phrase. O Israel, have I created you? O Jacob, have I created you? O Israel, have I formed you? I want to speak to you today really quick, a message I've entitled, Your Condition is Not Your Conclusion. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the spirit of revelation and give our minds illumination that we would experience transformation. God, I pray you give us a mind to perceive and a heart to receive all that you have. And I ask that after this message, we will never, never, never be the same. In Jesus' name, and all the men that really love Jesus say, amen, amen. I love this particular passage because Isaiah, if you continue to read it, really begins to take you into this whole behold moment. And this whole behold moment really is that God's going to make something brand new. And yet the way he starts it is that he's kind of giving us something really that has been set from the beginning, from when God really began everything. And that is that God is not just a God who leads us, but most importantly, he is the God who makes us. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God spoke, when God was thinking about man, he says, let us make man in our image. He didn't say, let us lead man into our image. He says, let us make man into our image. And then God proceeds as we see it in the beginning, that when he begins to create the heavens and the earth and everything that lives within it, the first 5 days, everything that was created came out of the mouth of God. When God said, let there be light, it came out of his mouth. He says, let us create oceans and waters and let us create trees and animals. All of these things came out of his mouth. But it wasn't until the sixth day that the mouth of God in some sense was silent, but yet creation was about to take place. And what God did was that he reached out from the corridors of heaven and touched the ground, and he made man into his image. He didn't speak man into his existence. He made man from the dust of the ground. And so immediately God gives us this look. He kind of gives us this perception that there are some things that come out of the mouth of God, and yet there are things that only can take place by God's hand being on it. God's hand is not on a tree that came out of his mouth. God's hand was not on the skies that came from his mouth. The only thing that God created at that time that had to be formed from the dust of the ground was man. And since that day, God never has, some sense, decided to take his hands off of what he created. Jacob, Israel, Isaiah was giving us something. He said, oh, Jacob, have I created you? Oh, Israel, have I formed you? The word Jacob or the name Jacob means a supplanter or a manipulator. And yet the word Israel means my prince or royalty. Oh, Jacob, have I created you? You manipulator, you supplanter, you that don't want anybody to get ahead of you. Oh, Israel, my prince. The word create comes from the Hebrew word bara, which means God takes nothing and he turns it into something. When God created your life, he took nothing and he turned it into something. And the devil always is trying to tell you the opposite. He's trying to tell you that you think you're something, but you're really nothing. But God says, no, I took nothing and I created something. And if it doesn't exist, I'll create it just for you. And so God says, listen, I created you, but then I formed you. Now, I took nothing and I turned it into something. And yet the word form comes from the Hebrew word, which means yaserka, which means this, to form, to fashion, to design, to have a blueprint and have a pattern. Can I go deeper this morning? And so when you think about it, was that God says, listen, I took nothing. I created you, Jacob. But I turned it into something, Israel. You see, here's what you got to realize, is that in order for God to form or to fashion, something has to be created. You cannot form or fashion and articulate and bring into existence and make it the way you want to if it had not been created. So it first has to be created. Then it has to be formed in fashion. And what that's letting us know is that being created isn't the conclusion. It is only the beginning. The Bible says that God created man from the foundations, before the foundations of this world. How could God create man before the foundations of this world? It lets me know that Jeremiah goes a little deeper. And Jeremiah says it in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. It says, for I knew you, speaking past tense. For I knew you while you were in your mother's womb, and then I formed you. And it reminds me of the fact of what Isaiah, the revelation he had when he was thinking about Jacob being created in Israel, being formed. If I can get my two guys up here real quick that kind of give you an example. And that is that Jacob, I created you, and O Israel, did I form you? Now the thing you got to realize is the fact that when God thought about Jacob before the foundations of this world, God saw Jacob. But that what God really was focused on was Israel, because Jacob and Israel are the same person. Just like Simon. Simon, you know, who got this revelation? Who do you think? Who am I? What do people say about me? And Simon looked at Jesus one day and he says, you're not Jeremiah and you're not Elijah. You are the Christos. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. And Jesus looked at him and says, Simon, this revelation could not come from flesh and blood. For no longer is your name Simon. Your name is now Peter. Being the same person. One, I created you, Simon. Peter is going to be the one I form you into existence. He did the same thing with another man. There was another man that was on his way one day to kill Christians, and his name was Saul. I created you, Saul. But he had an encounter with God, blinded him for 3 days, and now he contributed to 3/4 of New Testament theology. It wasn't Saul, but I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change it into Paul, because it's Saul that I created, but it is Paul that I formed. And can I tell you something, men? Creation isn't the conclusion. And so between a Jacob and an Israel is a mess called the middle. It's the process. It's when God begins to form you into the image he already had for your life. And I want to give you three quick things really quick that I believe is going to bless you. And that is that you got to decide today if your condition is not your conclusion. And that is, number one, you got to make the decision to be informed. You got to make the decision to be informed. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8, it says, and yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. Watch this. We are all formed in your hand. I'll never forget. One day I was in Santa Monica, and you go down the promenade, and my wife and I were walking when we were living out there and enjoying and watching all these people do some incredible things. Some were too incredible, but I'll never forget watching this man, and he had a bunch of pots around him, and some were small, some were large, and he was selling them, and he had this wheel. And And I'll never forget him taking a lump of clay, and he took this large lump of clay. It was real big. And he stuck it in the middle of the wheel and sat down and began to water it. And as he began to pour water in it, he put his foot like on a pedal. And the clay was in the middle of a wheel. And he began to form it. And me being very curious about it, just decided, I'm going to stop. So I sat down right by him. And I decided I'm not going to leave until I see the final product. Because it hit me was that his hands don't have the capacity to think on their own, to form something. His hands are just following the picture of what he already sees in his mind. And so all you are watching is his hands manifesting into the image he has in his mind. And so I was watching his hands, but I was really looking at what was in his mind. Because you cannot form anything without having a mental picture of what it looks like. Oh, Jacob, have I created you? Oh, Israel, have I formed you? And yet, God being the potter and we being the clay, God has this mental picture of what we're supposed to be like and what we're supposed to look like. And so when you and I see Jacob and you see a manipulator and you see a sinner and you see a person that's jacked up, God sees an Israel inside of us, and he's forming us into the mental image he already has of our lives. That's why Isaiah 46 and 10 says, if you want to know the way God thinks and what's in his mind, the Bible says God declares everything from the end to the beginning. See, you and I, we look at things from the beginning to the end, but the way God sees things is that he sees things from the end back to the beginning. This is why God can tell you, keep on going when the storm is at its best. You want to know why? Because you're coming from this direction towards your destiny, but God is coming from this direction and going to your reality. See, you got to see this. Jesus one day looked at his disciples, says, meet me on the other side. They said, okay, these expert fishermen get in the boat and they're meeting them on the other side. And all of a sudden they get into the middle of the sea, because that's where the mess is. That's where the preparation is. That's where the process is. And the Bible says the waves were tossing them, and all of a sudden they knew, they thought they were going to die. But Jesus said, meet me on the other side. What does the Bible say? The Bible says they looked up. They looked up. They didn't look behind. They didn't look to the side. They looked up, because Jesus wasn't coming from the same direction they were coming from. Jesus was coming from their destination, because Jesus is always at the end, and he's willing to meet you right in the middle. Come on, are you hearing me today? It's the way God works. He says, man, this is where you begin. Everybody starts off in Egypt. I deliver you out of Egypt. I bring you into the place of process called the wilderness. That's where I form you. That's where I make you. And then I bring you to the promised land. This is what I've always had the picture of your life to be. This is how you start off. You start off by drinking the milk of the word. And then it's the process, now the bread of the word. And then all of a sudden you're at the end and it is the meat of the word. I mean, everything about God is progression, and God takes you. It's the same thing Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become brand new. He's giving you a metaphorical picture of someone's life being transformed, that you start off as a caterpillar, and then all of a sudden you're in a cocoon, and from a cocoon you land up flying like a butterfly. Do you see, he talks about it in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, and he says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, metamorphosed metamorphia, in which we get the English word metamorphosis, the evolution of how a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. Because the whole time God's seeing a butterfly when you're still looking at yourself like a caterpillar. And so it's like, think about it. God's hand is forming you. But God's hand is being navigated by the picture he has of you in his life. But we've all been there. See, a tree has no need to be touched. The waters have no need to be formed. Their conclusion was creation. But that wasn't yours. And so just like myself, I was raised in church, fourth generation pastor. Jacob. Went to church every Sunday. And then by the age of 12, started getting in trouble doing drugs, in and out of jail. 4 years, prison, society, prison, society, prison, society. I could tell you why I got jumped into the neighborhood. Very simple. No pressure. No one put a gun in my head. Is that they showed me a destination. Obed, man, you be part of us. Come on, you get some cars. Get some girls. Come on, don't look at me like you were saved your whole life. So they picked you up in a 6'4", hitting juice. Some gold dating. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, huh? Cruising down the street. No, I said, I need to stop. Some of you going, yeah, look at you guys. You still got a little bit of world in you. But they showed me a destination. In all my teenage life, I allowed the wrong hands to form what God had created. And I trusted people that did not even have my destiny in mind. And some of you have gone down that path where you've trusted people. They promised you an Israel. When you were a Jacob, they talked about your future like as if they were the master designers of it. And you gave yourself to these people that promised you a great ending. To the point that you thought, I'm going to be formed into this, but only find out one day in the middle of your mess that you weren't formed. You became deformed. So you had no functionality. You could not even know who you were. You took on a false identity of something and somebody you were never meant to be. And that is why it didn't fit. And that's why it never led to a great destiny. And that is why you remain broken. Some of you were afraid to get married and still are. Because somewhere in the middle, you had the wrong hands forming your life to the point that you can't even see what God calls formal because you're deformed yourself. in. Its purpose is to deform you from the original form that God has for your life. This is why God, when Adam sinned, comes down walking in the cool of the day. And he says, Adam, where are you? Like as if God doesn't know. He's omnipresent. Everywhere at the same time, omniscient, all knowing. It's like try to play hide and go seek with God. It don't work. God wasn't looking for Adam. He was looking for his image. And for the first time, God saw what he created actually become deformed. And you have no power, no dominion, no authority when your life is deformed. For God gave man his image, then dominion. Your dominion is only attached to your rightful image. If he removes the image, there goes your dominion. And so you're powerless. And so when people are powerless and they carry no authority, they bring on a false sense of authority. It's called control. And this is why men for so long being deformed are not walking in their godly authority. But they're walking in control, because control is driven by fear and fear is driven by insecurity. You see, can I tell you something? Insecurity is driven by lack of affirmation. If you don't have affirmation, you have insecurity. If you have insecurity, you're walking in fear, and the byproduct of fear is a controller. Somebody has to be in control. Why? Because you're afraid of losing everything. I'll control my wife. I'll control my kids. No, God gave you dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every creeping creature. But the one thing he left out was man itself. You're not supposed to control your wife. You're supposed to lead your wife. And you're supposed to be led by the Holy Ghost. And so your mess took place here. Because you've had the wrong hands on your life, painting a picture that you have they have a future. But they, in the first place, never created you. And if they didn't create you, then how can they have your destiny for you? God forms. God forms. Sin deforms. And this is why Jesus had to come, so he can transform. Hey, Jesus didn't come to change you. He came to transform you. Because the reality is that you got to decide to be formed. The second thing you got to decide is, I no longer want to live a life that's conformed. The Bible says it in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world. Can you imagine having a conversation with a caterpillar? I mean, think about it. You like looking at a caterpillar saying, Mr. Caterpillar, how you doing? Well, my day's not too good today. Why isn't your day too good today? I'm just tired of everybody looking down at me. Yeah, I know. Yep. So what do you expect? I'm not expecting anything. I can't see what's ahead of me. I wish I could, but I just can't see what's over that mountain that's in front of me. I've been crawling all this time. Well, who are you hanging out with? Well, I'm only hanging out with the one who's been crawling from the existence. For Lucifer came into the garden as a serpent. The lower you are to the ground, the louder his voice is. It's why he hates Christians who can stand. Because if you can stand, you don't pay attention to what's beneath you. Because you cannot hear his voice from the height in which you're standing on. And so it's why we were all stuck in Egypt, sin. Because we were the tail, and the enemy was telling you, look at you. And what did God do? God rescues you. He rescues you and brings you out. But he brings you into the wilderness. Because you got to go through the process. And so you feel like you're alone. But you're really not. You're just hidden. God always hides before he announces. He hid David until it was time for him to be announced. He'll hide you to form you before he announces you. And when you look at a caterpillar, it gets into a cocoon. And all of a sudden, it begins to shed off every ability it has to crawl. And yet it does not call FedEx or UPS to bring its wings. For the wings are already inside of him. And the whole time while this caterpillar was crawling, it had no idea that it had the ability to soar. But it could not do it in its deformity. It had to be transformed. And so it sheds off every ability to crawl until beauty comes forth out of it. And then all of a sudden it has its wings. But the reason why it cannot break out of its cocoon, because while it has its wings, its mind is still looking for its hands. And this is why it has to be transformed, not by my spirit and not by my body, but by the renewing of my thinking. And this is why you got Christians today that look like butterflies, but they're still crawling like caterpillars. The reason why is because they got the power to soar over mountains. They got the ability to go places beyond its human limitation. But the problem is it's still thinking like they were when they were in Egypt, like a caterpillar. I'll end up to be nothing. Where is God at? What do you mean, where God at? God's right here. He never left you nor never forsaked you. He's always right there with you. And then all of a sudden it gets to its formation. And it's a butterfly. Something happens when it's willing to leave one place to go to a place that only the hand of God can bring forth out of it. God saw Israel when everybody else saw Jacob. God saw a butterfly when all your family and friends saw a caterpillar. Nobody invested in you when you were a manipulator, a sinner. But God had to send his best. And the reason why is because he saw you at your best. And so I didn't see you as something that was broken, because the picture I had in my mind of you is not that which is a Jacob, but that which is an Israel. You were created, Jacob, but formed, O Israel. And all I've had to do was take your deformity and transform into the image I've always had of your life. And last but not least, You got to live a life to be formed, a life that you want to be, you don't longer want to be conformed to last week, but not least, I want myself and others to live out a new life transformed. Here's what I can tell you. As I close, I could tell you that you got to stop talking to God about this and get in alignment with God and start talking to God about this. That when it's all said and done, God has a way of bringing Israel and Jacob so close to one another that eventually people will see Israel, even though the life that's behind you was Jacob. Come on, are you hearing me today? Here's what I want to pray for today. I want to pray for two things. Thank you, guys. I want to pray for two things. Because I can tell you that at the age of 16, I went to a camp and I got saved. I was in church all my life, but got hooked on drugs, alcohol, in and out of jail. Kicked out of schools, and then went to a camp after I came out of jail. My mother spent her last $60 sending me to camp. And I could tell you what kept me in my neighborhood was my friends. I could tell you what kept me in the church this time was my friends. You're not going to do faith alone. You got to be around others. You will eventually become and form into what you're around. God didn't save you because you were lost. How can you be lost from a God who knows exactly where you are? He didn't save you because you were on drugs or alcohol. Because he already called you, according to Jeremiah chapter 1, before you ever sinned your first sin. It's not what you've been saved from that matters, more than what you've been saved for that matters. And you marginalize and you minimize God to only believe that he saves you and he's only big enough to save you from bringing you out of something without having a plan to bringing you into something. And what he's bringing you into will far be greater than what he brought you out of. Today, so with your head bowed and your eyes closed and you're here today and you just say, Pastor Obed, I'll be honest with you. My life isn't sure it should be. It's messed up. I'm going through things in my life, and I'll be honest, I've had the wrong hands on my life. And I know that I'm not the person I should be. But today I'm going to commit to put the hands of God back on my life. And with the hands of God back on my life, I'm going to become everything God wants me to be. And if that's you, on the count of three, lift your hands. 1, 2, 3, lift them up. God bless you all over this room. God bless you. 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 Keep your hands as high as they can. Listen, his hands were so stretched on the cross. Come on, God bless you. Wave at me if your hands are lifted. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Look at that. God bless you. I want to pray for you. And then the team pastor is going to come up here and he's going to lead you to where you need to go next. But can I pray for you right now? For those of you that said, Pastor Obed, that's me. Father, I thank you for every person that's here today that lifted their hands and said, God, I want to make sure your hands are on my life. I no longer want to live a life of deformity or conformity. I want to live a life that's transformed. Father, I want you to take me from a Jacob to an Israel, from a Saul to a Paul, from a Simon to a Peter. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name, that they will get connected into this community here, that their lives will never be the same. In Jesus' name. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Obed, your head's still bowed, and you say, I don't know Jesus. If I would die today, be honest with you, Pastor, I don't know if I'd make it to heaven. I'm just being honest. Listen, I can go on and on, but you know, don't even think about leaving this place without your heart not being in alignment with God, without being right with God, and say, Pastor Obed, I've done some things. I don't feel I'm right with God, and I want to make sure I want to leave this place knowing I'm saved and born again. And if that's you, on the count of three, I want to pray this prayer with you. 1, 2, 3, lift them up. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir, back there. Anybody else? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Amen. Will you all say this prayer with me? Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Today I ask you to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose from the grave. And I believe you're coming back again. I believe you're the Son of God and the Savior of my soul. Today, I will choose to follow you and be your disciple for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Come on, did anybody get anything out of that message today? Wasn't that good?